curve. Release is called Discovery, and before that, that was that whole set. So let's see what information I have. So do I have anything on The Quiet Spaces? No, but I do have something on Christopher Holliday, telepathy. I don't want to say oh, goodness. So he's on alto sax, Gilbert Castellanos on trumpet, Joshua White on piano, Rob Thorson on bass, and Tyler Coutel on drums. And so that came out last year. Before that, let's see. Benji Kaplan, what do I have on this? It's putting the glasses on and off, putting the headphones on and off. It's driving me crazy. Anne Drummond on alto and C flute, Remy LeBouf on clarinet and bass clarinet, David Bird on marrow. Oh, David Bird marrow on French horn. Benji Kaplan on nylon string acoustic guitar. He produced all arrangements and compositions. Okay. References to both his hometown, New York, and the Brazilian musical traditions. Let's see, what did we hear from Benji? Samba for Django. What does it say about that? As an effervescent dinner drink or a witty remark, the brief samba for Django is perfect, with its sparkling unison lines and varying instrumental combinations evoking the delightful Django Grappelli conversations. All right, that's that. And French-born New York-based saxophonist composer Stefan Spiro finds inspiration in a new home, a new family, and new collaborations. Engineer turned soprano saxophonist enlists Joshua Richmond, Steve Wood, and Jimmy McBride join him on a lyrical swinging new playground out September 21st. Spear is self-taught, but he's musically mature and his music is soulful. Spear's evolution is one to watch. That's written by Ken McAuliffe in a 4-star downbeat review of In Between. Okay, so the release concert was December 10th at the Cell in New York City. I think that's it. I told you about the films I had seen. Yeah. Okay. Well, here we are, and it's an extended version, a long playing version. Let me see now if I can do this. Let's see. All right, so let's see if this is gonna work. So there's all these little things that they want us to do to check in, and it makes it interesting to say the least. So when you're filling in, you have to fill in. There we go. Yes. And yes, I'm subbing for someone. Yes. All right. So now we have a new playlist. Okay, so here's what's going to happen, hopefully. As I said, I have this wonderful album, and hopefully it's actually going to play. So we will try. That's all we can do. Nope, that's not it.
Everything's gonna be all right this morning. All right.
Okay, so this is Manish Boy, recorded at the Record Plant in New York, April 22nd, 1969. Jimi Hendrix on guitar and vocals, bass Billy Cox, and drums Buddy Miles. It's a previously unreleased recording. So, it's very cool to finally get to hear this. And there's a beautiful insert with photographs, a great picture of Jimi Hendrix, big smile with a hat, and oh my God, it's just great. So my dear friend Mark got this for me for my birthday, and as I said, I wasn't able to hear it until now. So we're going to go next to Loverman. This was recorded also at the Record Plant in New York, December 15th, 1969. It's the same. Okay, so let's see.
Here it comes, baby.
Wow, that was great. Ooh, I'm having so much fun. Oh, I thought I stopped this. Oh, dear. Okay, so the next one, and I should say, actually, that Manish Boy is actually a composition by Muddy Waters, Ellis McDaniel, and Mel London. So that was not written by Jimmy. So the next one, let's hear my train of coming. The way they've got this set up here, it makes me crazy. I can't see. All right.
Amen.
this town. Gonna make it bigger. With all the spirit in my heart. Gonna be a magic boy, voodoo child. Gonna come back and buy this town. And put it all in my shoes.
Okay, well, wow, it's been a long time since I've really gotten into that zone. Just want to share a message with you, and then we'll get back into this Both Sides of the Sky, Jimi Hendrix. Wow. Don't drink and drive. 26-year-old Olivia Culbreth broke down in tears as she was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for her wrong-way drunk driving crash that left six people dead, including her own sister, three generations of a family in another vehicle. Holy God. I'm going to punish myself for the rest of my life, she sobbed to the judge. I want people to know I would die a million times over. I was so wrong, and I take full responsibility. Everyone in both vehicles except for Culbreth was killed in the horrific drunk driving collision, which catapulted wreckage across several lanes and reduced the SUV and Culbreth's car to disembodied wheels, axles, and twisted pieces of metal. The fun's over when you drink alcohol and then decide to drive, quite possibly forever. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, this reminds me of the terrible crash that happened with all the motorcyclists. Seven people dead from some stupidity. Oy, oy, oy. Why people have to think before they do things. So, I want to share with you, I won't do all of it, but some of the liner notes, because I think it's quite fabulous. This is Both Sides of the Sky presents 13 Jimi Hendrix studio recordings made during a fertile two-year period between 1968 and 1970. Jimmy's mastery of the recording studio and his increasing use of these facilities as a proving ground for new songs resulted in a growing collection of extraordinary original material. In case you just tuned in, it's an extended version of the Voicemobile. Chris Earle is away. So I'm sharing with you this fabulous LP that my friend got me, Both Sides of the Sky, Jimi Hendrix. Okay, Both Sides of the Sky emerges as the third volume in a trilogy of albums, Valley of Neptune in 2010 and People, Hell, and Angels in 2013, intended to present the best and most significant unissued studio recordings remaining in the Hendrix archive. The April 22, 1969 session for Manish Boy, which we heard first, marked the first ever recording session by the trio, who would become known as the Band of Gypsies, and whose work with Hendrix would have a significant impact on his remarkable legacy. Hendrix's inherent love for the blues was shared by bassist Billy Cox and drummer Buddy Miles. This was the band's common language, and they easily came together on this driving, up-tempo reworking of Manish Boy by Muddy Waters. The recording featured on this album stands apart from an alternate version issued on 1994's Jimi Hendrix Blues. For that album, engineer Mark Linnet digitally edited different takes, including the guitar solo from this recording, when the group was augmented by an unnamed percussionist to create a composite master. The first known studio origins of, quote, Loverman trace back to April 1967 sessions at Olympic Studios in London. Jimmy, ever the perfectionist and surging with creativity, would continue to revise the song's arrangement and tempo in the years that followed. He made numerous attempts to realize the song with varying combinations of musicians in 1968 and 1969, yet a finished master eluded him. Just 2 weeks before their four triumphant New Year's Eve and New Year's Day concerts at the Fillmore East in New York, which would ultimately yield both 1970's Band of Gypsies and the 2016 sequel Machine Gun, Hendrix gathered with Cox and Miles to cut this dynamic live-in-the-studio rendition of what had become a favorite Hendrix concert staple. This recording makes clear what an effective, tightly knit rhythm section Cox and Miles provided the guitarist. Hendrix's masterful solo builds in intensity atop a driving foundation, ultimately capped off by his quick homage to the popular television comedy Batman, a favorite of the trio. As with Loverman, Jimmy was determined to capture a studio recording of Hear My Train A-Comin'. This version hails from April 9th, 1969, and features the original Jimi Hendrix experience in their penultimate recording session. Listed on the tape box as Get My Hearts Back Together, the experience recorded the song live in the studio and tore into it with a savage fury. Redding's insistent bass playing propelled the musical dialogue throughout between Hendrix and Mitchell. This dramatic interplay showcase Hendrix's mastery of dynamics, all while pushing blues far beyond any parameters its founders had ever imagined. So that's where we are up till now. Going to turn over the... looks like it's going to start to storm out there. If you're driving, be careful. And if you're walking, maybe head for some cover. It looks pretty dark. And they did say there would be thunderstorms, so I'm not sure quite where we're at with the weather, but... Okay, let's see if we can get this.
Real.
Wow, and it's lightning. Woo, I'm looking out the window of the studio and big, big flash of lightning. Here comes the thunder. Like I said, if you're driving, be very careful. And if you're walking, maybe find some shelter. Huh. Pretty interesting. Yeah, there's some more lightning. So they did say that there would be, you know, thunder showers and stuff. Maybe it'll cool things down. I don't know. It was supposed to be humid today. All right, so the next one is a Stephen Stills composition, $20 fine. And let's see what they have to say about that. Hope you're enjoying this. I saw that there are a couple of you online listening. And it's a rare treat, really. You normally don't get to do this. Okay, so it says, Stepping Stone was another promising new composition Hendrix had in development throughout 1969. Initially titled I'm a Man, work on this song took place during separate September sessions with both Buddy Miles and Mitch Mitchell. Hendrix eventually put the song aside for further development. You can hear the thunder, I suppose. For the development, then 2 months later, returned to the song in earnest at the record plant. Take 14 from Hendrix's session on November 14th with the guitarist joined solely by Miles on drums yielded the basic track. 4 days later, Cox added bass guitar while Hendrix overdubbed additional guitar parts and a lead vocal. Stephen Stills enjoyed a friendship with Jimmy, which began in June 1967, Monterey Pop Festival. The two would continue to cross paths in the years that followed, jamming at small favored nightclubs such as The Scene in New York. Stills would join Jimmy, Mitch Mitchell, Buddy Miles, and keyboardist Dwayne Hitchings at this September 1969 record plant session. There was no formal agenda advanced by Hendrix, but Stills burst into the studio highly enthused about Woodstock. a new song recently composed by Joni Mitchell. Oops, here we go. Some thunder. Yep. And let's see, I think. So that Woodstock one, is a little bit later. Let's see. Okay, Hendrix had met Mitchell in Canada the previous year and was impressed by her unique talents. Okay, so that was the Woodstock one. So we'll wait on that. Yeah, you can hear all the thunder for sure. So the one we're gonna hear next is $20 fine. You're listening to WMFO Medford here, live from Tufts University. This is Joyce the Voice with you on an extended play version of the Voice Mobile. Chris Earle is taking a break. He got to go. Ooh, lightning. He got to go hear the Rolling Stones a couple of weeks back. I'm really wanting to hear how that went. I'm sure it was fabulous. He made a whole excursion out of it, so he'll want to hear all about that. All right, let's see.
Walking through it anyway. Be like I've been.
Yeah, it's pouring out there, folks, in case you didn't know. And lots of activity, the thunder and lightning, so be safe, okay? So that was, we had Stephen Stills on that, playing organ and doing the vocals. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And we had Dwayne, let's see. Oh, okay, we have Dwayne Hitchings on piano. Okay, Jimi Hendrix on guitar, Mitch Mitchell on drums. All right. The next one is Power of Soul. Actually, before I go to that, I just want to share with you. Well, yeah, actually, we'll wait with that. All right, so let's see what it says about Power of Soul. Here we go. Oh, it says that Stills put forward an original song of his own entitled $20 Fine. He remained at the organ and was with while Hendrix moved from bass to guitar. So I guess they recorded Woodstock first, but on this LP, it's on this the other LP. He remained at the organ. Okay, joined now by Mitch Mitchell on drums, Buddy Miles Express guitar, keyboardist Dwayne Hitchings on piano. Hendrix moved from bass to guitar. Oops, it's pretty close. The assembled group worked quickly and efficiently, and their third take produced a basic track, upon which Hendrix overdubbed additional guitar parts before the session concluded. All right, so now, so we're going to go to Power of Soul. Signaled a dynamic new direction for Hendrix. Here was an intricate, complex song, unlike anything featured on any of his previous albums to date. Power of Soul came together, explains Cox. When Jimmy heard me playing a riff from Mary Ann, an old song Ray Charles used to do. I hadn't meant anything by playing it. I was just goofing around. But that was all he needed to get started. Beginning in May 1969, Hendrix made several attempts to record the song. Each of these efforts served more as opportunities for the guitarist to experiment with his rhythm and solo parts, as well as further refine the song's sophisticated arrangement. Hendrix's January 21, 1970 studio session ultimately yielded the basic track. Further overdubs were completed on February 3rd before the recording was set aside. I mean, this is pretty detailed stuff. I love it, though. I think it's quite wonderful. So let's have a listen now to Power of Soul here on WMFO. We'll be right back.
for some of us high-flying rides you've been taking. You know the ones that fly you too low. Some of the Zeppelin rides in and take her. So she the ones that apply you too low. Yeah. Come on back up to earth, my friend. Come on back up with me. We all been through the nighttime, baby. Now let's read the ways of reality. The power of soul, anything is possible. With the power of you, anything you wanna do. Sometimes the wind ain't right. Yeah, I'm playing too much with one toy, baby. Just a bit escape to the grip of night. Oh, yeah. And you look around and see old jellyfish. Yeah. He's saying flotation's groovy, baby. And even he'll tell you that. Getting high every day is easy, and floating around, even a jellyfish will agree to that. Long, but you look around and see him floating around so long and easy and so slack. He don't have a bone in his jelly back. Is that the way you want to be, brother? Check it out. Yeah, I'm staying with the power of you.
Okay, I could have gone right to the next one, but let's see what I want to tell you about the next one, which is, all right, so that was The Power of Soul. The next one is Jungle. And oh, my glasses are all caught up in my headphone cord. Oh, dear. So that's just with Jimi Hendrix on guitar and Buddy Miles on drums. That was recorded at the Record Plant in New York, November 14th, 1969. What do they say about Jungle? There was some information. It says it owes much to the stylings of one of Hendrix's favorite guitarists, Curtis Mayfield, drawing heavily on his univibe tone control pedal. Hendrix continued in his effort to develop the Villanova Junction blues theme, later made famous by the inclusion of his festival performance of the song in the 1970 Woodstock documentary. Okay. I'm Wow, I really like that one. Okay, so that was Jungle. That's the second side of the first album. And I just want to share something I just read on my email. There are fires raging all across the land of Israel. They urgently need prayers. Safety of all men, women, and children in the land of Israel. And the words of the prophet Isaiah said, when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Today, temperatures across the country skyrocketed above 111 degrees Fahrenheit, igniting and spreading fires at a truly horrifying pace. Community of Adair, which I planted trees 2 weeks ago, has been evacuated. As the residents of this special community, just minutes from my home, seek refuge, they have no idea what will become of their homes, gardens, and communities. They're asking people to pray and to help if you can. This is Rabbi Truly Weiss who posted this. It's just really, I mean, we know that the temperature in Europe has been like through the roof. It was, what was it, 114 in France. You know, everything is going crazy, right? Going crazy. Let's see what they have to say. This is this crazy Ilhan Omer who's saying the anti-Israel BDS movement and the Boston Tea Party should strip her, what she said, that it should strip her of her committee seat. This is an article on Town Hall PM. Jonathan Garth Waite wrote this. Let's see. Where is the whole article here? Some crazy people out there. Representative Ilhan Omer, a Democrat from Minnesota, is doing what she does best, ruffle the feathers of everyone and peddling her anti-Semitic agenda. What's going on here? Come on, close this. I don't want these ads. Ah, go away. Okay. She's trash, pure and simple, but sits on the House Foreign Relations Committee, which brought forward a non-binding resolution condemning the anti-Israel boycott, divestments, and sanctions movement. Omar, in true fashion, defended the movement and compared it to the Boston Tea Party. She also referred to Israel as an occupier regarding the current state of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Oh, she's a nut. Representative Lee Zeldin, Republican New York, wasn't having any of her nonsense, but it didn't stop her for introducing a resolution that counters the one passed by the committee. The BDS crew was quite pleased. Oh, boy. Says Lee Zeldin said, great news. The House Foreign had just passed House Resolution 246 opposing the BDS movement, which is a blatantly anti-Israel and anti-Semitic effort that targets Israel and the Jewish people. The full House should pass this resolution as soon as possible and then do something about it by passing S-1/HR-336 as well. Ay, 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 ay. Hey, this is on you, Democrats. You refuse to it says condiment. I think it means condemn anti-Semitism in a meaningful way. Omar has accused those of supporting Israel of exhibiting dual loyalty, and now she's running wild with her total garbage views on Israel, a nation that she's accused of hypnotizing the world to its evil. She hates Jews, she hates Israel, and her reference to the so-called occupation is a dead giveaway. Also, BDS will never be anything like the Boston Tea Party. Only someone who is historically illiterate can reach that conclusion, or someone who wants to stay in the spotlight. With Omar, it's possibly a bit of both. Oh boy. Well, I don't know. It's a little bit nuts what's going on out there. Maybe we should get back to the music. I'm going to have to switch. Just going to have to bear with me while I put away one of the LPs and put the second one on. I hope you're enjoying this because it's a rare opportunity to hear this. Okay. Here we go.